When trust is put to the test, that's when you really know whether you trust something or not. To have trust requires faith. To have faith requires courage. Are you a person of courage today? A lot of people wonder what courage really is. If you look at Webster, courage is defined as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Are you a person of courage? There have been points in my life in which courage has been demanded of me. I can think of the year 1988. Yes, I was a junior in high school in 1988, and we were getting ready for our championship football game. We had made it through our season. We had gone into the playoffs, and we came to the final game. Now, I was kind of a B-string player. I wasn't a senior. I played throughout the year, but not on a constant basis. The right tackle, who was the position that I played, defensive tackle, yes, God just built me to run into stuff. That's kind of how he made me. And the guy that played that position ended up getting injured during practice the week before the game. And so my coach called on me to play in the championship game. And I can remember beforehand literally trembling. They had up the faces and the pictures of all the opposite players. And so there was my picture right next to this ginormous of a man that was going to be the offensive player in front of me. And he was huge. He was bigger than I was. I was nervous. I was scared. But a moment that required courage came in my life at that time. Fast forward a few years. I found myself walking in the mall. And as I'm walking through the mall, I've got one thing in mind. I'm going to the jewelry store to buy an engagement ring for the woman that I hoped was going to become my wife. And as I was just walking in the store, I started to have this kind of, I don't know, out-of-body experience almost. I was dazed. I was nervous. My heart was pounding. And as I was walking through the mall, I was just thinking to myself, is this the right thing to do? Is this really what I need to do? Is the time come for me to do this? And as I was trying to muster up the courage to make it into that jewelry store, I came across the path, just literally almost ran into her, of my ex-girlfriend. And she said, "Doug, I haven't seen you in forever. What are you doing here?" Just shopping. Anyways, I had a quick conversation. I thought, boy, that was weird. I hope that's not an omen of some sort. And I came to the store, and I could see it on my left-hand side. And just as I was getting ready to turn into the store, I heard a voice say, "Doug." I looked up, and it was Jenny's mother. She said, "What are you doing here?" And I'm like literally almost in the store. My body is turned towards it. Again, shopping. Fast forward a few more years. 10 years ago to this month, Jenny and I had taken a vacation and we were in San Diego. There was a giant storm here in the Dakotas. We were in San Diego. I think the temperature was, well, what it always is in San Diego, 70. We were at our hotel. We had a little balcony outside our hotel. We were standing out there, and a phone call came. And it was someone from Hillcrest who said, "Would you consider putting your name in the hat to become the pastor here at Hillcrest?" We had been dreaming, as I was finishing up seminary, of going back to California and going back to our home and our family and everything that we knew and was familiar. And all of a sudden, a phone call came, and I looked at Jenny, and I said, "We have to make a decision." A moment of great courage faced us. Do you have anything in your life right now that is going to require a great show of courage? Is there something in your life that you just can't seem to get past, or something in front of you that's a wall in front of you that you can't seem to get around? Something that's going to require a decision from you, a job change, something in a relationship, some movement in your life. Maybe it's one that you've been putting off for a long time. I want you to think of something in your life that's requiring courage from you. Definition: mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. You see, when we think of courage, we usually think of things like what I was sharing, or greater efforts of courage, like a soldier on a battlefield that saves one of his comrades and receives a Purple Heart. Or we think of the fireman who rescues the child from a burning building, and we say that required great courage for that firefighter to step into the fire and to rescue that child. But if we define courage just by these acts that require great courage, we're losing the reason and the benefit of courage today. Because I would argue that we need courage on a day-to-day basis, as great as any event that requires courage in our lives or the life of another person. We need to be a people that have courage. Because courage is something that we live, not just something that we do. For example, it takes great courage for the alcoholic to step into that first AA meeting and say, "I am an alcoholic." It takes great courage for the marriage that is struggling to call a marriage counselor and show up to that very first appointment as they sit in the waiting room wondering if anyone's going to come in that they may know. It takes great courage for the teen that wants to stay pure to say no to the advancements of his or her boyfriend or girlfriend. It takes great courage for the friend to own up to what they did and to apologize for it. It takes great courage for the person who chooses to forgive, especially when they choose to forgive the one that is not looking for forgiveness. It takes great courage for the person who sits across the table with a friend and says, "I am struggling with," and you fill in the blank. Today we are in chapter 7 of the story. And as you read the chapter, you read about an individual named Joshua. And we're going to look at Joshua because he is a great man and example of courage. And so we're going to open up our Bibles to the book that by the same name, Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to start right here in verse 1. But before we go to the actual text itself, I want to recap a little bit because we've been talking about the person of Moses up to this point. And Moses has now passed away. He dies, and now God is looking for someone to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. The promised land that they have been eluded for over 40 years as they have been led through the desert by God. The first generation does not get to see the promised land until they all die out, which even includes Moses. They don't enter the promised land. And so now this next generation has risen up. Joshua is one of these that has risen up. He is an example of the next generation, and God chooses him to lead the people. Now, Joshua is probably 40 or 50 years younger than Moses is. But Joshua is going to be seen and be a great example of courage to the people. Now, 40 years earlier, when they first had entered into the desert area on their way to the promised land, Moses had selected some individuals to go into the promised land and kind of spy it out. He chose 12 people. And when they spied it out, they came back. And 10 of the individuals that spied it out came back and said, "No way, we can't take the promised land. The cities are too fortified. The people are too large. There's no way we can do this." But 2 of those 12 spies came back and said, "With God's strength, with his help, we can take it. We can be victorious." Of those 2 spies, Joshua was one of them, Caleb was the other. So God had already selected a person ahead of time. Joshua was going to be the person to bring the people into the promised land that God had promised to them. Let's pick up the story, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you for all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. God is telling Joshua to go into the promised land and to possess the land that he not only promised Moses, but the land that he promised Abraham centuries before. Joshua knows the land. He's been there. He's seen it. He knows what to expect. But God tells him to be strong and courageous. In fact, he says it four times in this chapter one alone. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I have a feeling that Joshua is going to need to be strong and courageous. You see, the first city they're going to come up against is a city called Jericho. Now, they're not at it yet, but they're going to be at it very soon. And God is preparing them for what is to come. I don't know if you have experienced this before or whether you even know that it's true. God prepares you ahead of time for the events in your life that are challenging, that are difficult, that require you to persevere, and that require courage of you. You may not realize it. You may not see it at first. But every time you come up against something that is difficult, that is hard, that seems like a wall or a mountain, you need to understand God has already prepared you for that event. You lose your job, God has already prepared you for that event. It may not feel like it. It may feel completely out of control. But that might be more because of your mindset than the truth and the reality behind it. Because God never leaves you hanging. He prepares you ahead of time. He puts events and situations in your life to strengthen you, to ready you, to train you, to be an encouragement to you, so that when you come up against these difficult events, you are ready to handle them head on. With God, there is no need to be fearful. With God, there is no need to have a lack of courage. We need to understand that when difficult situations come in our life, God is there in the midst of them. He stands beside us, and he has already prepared us for the difficulties of those moments. So before Joshua leads the people into Jericho, God says to him, be strong and courageous. This becomes extremely important because as they come to the city of Jericho, they already know what they're up against. They're up against an extremely fortified city. The city of Jericho has a double wall system. The outer wall is 6 feet thick and has guards mounted at the top of the wall. The inside wall is 12 feet thick, and it too has guards mounted on the top of that wall. There is no way through this wall. There is no way over it. There is no way around it. Now realize that Joshua understands that his role is going to be to take Jericho. And as a general, a military general, Joshua is drawing up plans. The scriptures don't tell us of his plans, but as a military general, ready to take on an important city like this that is well fortified, he's got to be coming up with some kind of plan. Whether he's drawn it out in the dirt, whether he's conversed with others about it, whether he's made little stick figures out of wood and tried to put together a battle plan, this is how we're going to take Jericho. What a nearly impossible task it must have seemed like. And I think that when we come across texts like this, I think God wants us to make some applications to these things. And maybe ask the question, what are these difficult events? What are these walls in our life that we can't seem to get through, over or around? Do you have any of these events or situations in your own life? Maybe you've received some health news. Maybe there's a relationship that seems beyond repair. Maybe there's some person that you know you need to reach out to, but it seems overbearing. God prepared you ahead of time for events like this, as he did the Israelites. And he says the same to us as he said to them, be strong and courageous. Let's jump ahead to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is when we hear about the battle plan for Jericho. God has something important to say to Joshua before he lays out the battle plan. In chapter 6, verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. I have delivered. Now understand, this is pre-battle. This is pre-attack on Jericho. And God is already saying, I have delivered. Now, my English teacher back in elementary school taught me about something called being verbs. Anyone know what a being verb is? You remember that far back? Only a few of you. Well, being verbs are the verbs that you use to state your sense of being. And to say that I have delivered when you have not yet delivered is the wrong being verb. You have a choice of being verbs. Is, am, are, was, were, be, being, been, have, has, had, do, does, it, shall, will, should, would, may, might, must, can, could. Yes, my English teacher would be very proud of me right now. You have all these options. And God chooses, I have delivered. How do you feel if you're Joshua? Maybe a little confused. I think I just might be elated. Because Joshua knows the power of God. He has seen God's power. And when God says he's delivered, by golly, he has delivered. What a sense of confidence that would bring as you went into the battle, that God has already said the battle has been won. So now we're going to hear about this amazing battle plan that God has for taking Jericho. Continues on in verse 3 through 5. God says, march around this city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. Seriously, a marching band. We're going to take Jericho with a marching band. I'm not sure, but I don't think that Joshua had this in his map. When he had all the places that he was going to, ways that he was going to do this, I'm not sure that a marching band was the plan. Now, earlier they had sent a couple of spies in, and these spies went in to kind of find out what things were like and prepare as best they could for this battle. The spies had come out, and so I think even Joshua at this point is saying, well, do we have at least someone on the inside that's going to help us out? Oh, yeah, we do. It's a prostitute. Okay, so a marching band and a prostitute are what we need to conquer Jericho? Why? Why is this the battle plan? Any ideas? What'd you say, Neil? Faith? That was certainly going to require faith. Bingo. And nobody can do that but God. Did you notice how when God puts a plan together, he always stacks the deck against himself? He always makes sure that you know, in no other way could this have happened but through God's power. Joshua isn't getting credit for the marching band prostitute plan. It's got to be God if this thing happens. Because God wants everyone to know that he did it. The battle belongs to the Lord. And it requires courage for us too to follow God's plan. But this plan that God gave Joshua is the plan that was going to win the battle. His ways are not our ways, but his ways are always best. You and I can trust God and his plans that he has for our life. For he says, I have plans for you, and they are plans for good, not for bad. Be strong and courageous. How do we do this? How do you and I become strong and courageous? I'm not sure there's too many of us here that would put up their hands to say, no, I'm not interested in being strong and courageous. I think every one of us would like to do that, but it's really the application of how to become strong and courageous is where the problem seems to be. The best way to become strong and courageous is not to listen to the eye of the tiger over and over again. It's through something that seems so simple, but is so rarely done. Prayer. Wait, Pastor Doug, it's got to be more complicated than that. Give me a three-step process, or you know, give me an acronym or something that I can remember it by. That's no more difficult than prayer. Though prayer is one of those things that seems to elude many of us. Prayer is a period of time of talking with God. It's not just sharing your troubles, but it's listening to what he has to say. It's a way of living and being, not a moment in time. Prayer isn't something that you just reserve for your mornings or your meal times or before bed. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. That it's a condition of our heart, always in communication with God, always asking, is this where I should go? Is this what I should do? What is your will for me? Help me to see your will. Help me to see your direction. It's prayer that changes things. It's not about telling God what he already knows. It's about the change that happens in you when you start to pray. Prayer changes things, and prayer changes you, and prayer changes me. It's not so much the situation, but it's more about the person that is changed in a time of prayer. It's through prayer that we tap into God's might and his power in our lives. It's through prayer that the battle is already won. It's through prayer that we find hope. It's through prayer that we find peace. It's through prayer that we find God himself. Do you want to be set free from the sin in your life? Do you want strength and courage to be able to climb that wall? Then you need to become a person of prayer. It's through prayer that you will get your marching orders as Joshua got his. You'll get them from God and not from your own plans, your own ideas, or your own scheming. You need help in your family today? Then pray. Do you need help in your relationships? Then pray. Do you need help in your job? Then pray. Do you need God's help in anything? Then pray. Let's pray right now. Lord, I ask us that you would help us to be a people of prayer. We ask that as we pray, we will become more like you. We're thankful that you hear us, that you care about us, that you care about the things we pray for. Please help all of us as we face the walls in our lives. Help us to be strong and courageous and to trust your plan for our lives. Make it clear to us as how we can overcome our battles and give us the courage to take the first step towards victory. For you are our God, and we are your people. And we love you. It is out of this great love that we even give to you now. As we take this offering, I ask that you would take this humble gift and use it to show your love to others in a tangible way. Help us to be good stewards of this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we broke from the huddle, and I walked up to the line, and I looked at this mammoth of a man on the other side of me. And the quarterback called the play, the ball hiked, and the game was on. I don't know why or how it happened, but that offensive line, for their first play of the game, messed up their call. And the offensive lineman that was in front of me pulled. That's a football term. Basically, he got out of my way. And in front of me was an open hole, and the only thing I could see on the other side of it was a quarterback. I ran through that hole as hard as I could, and sure enough, there in the backfield, the quarterback and I met eyes. I didn't have an amazing game. It wasn't like a star game. But that first play gave me confidence I could play the game. After leaving Jenny's mother, I really was at a crossroads. Am I going in this store or not? Well, I did kind of stand there for a few moments, looked around to see who else might be coming. I made a left into that store, and the rest is history. Praise the Lord, she said yes. There in San Diego, Jenny and I looked at each other and said, are we ready to do this thing? There's no guarantees. It may not always be smooth sailing. But is this what God has asked us to do? Well, 10 years later, here we are. Acts of courage. If you don't act, it's still a decision. But what blessing might you miss out on? Be strong. Be courageous. For God goes before you. And he prepares you for every battle along the way, even if it includes your mother-in-law. God bless you all. Thank you for coming today. You are dismissed.